We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
1-1 on the way. Fly ball, trouble, deep right. Back goes Hayward, and this ball is going to be gone for a home run, and the game is tied at one.
But it was Bodie time later. Thanks for hanging out Monday evening. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joe Ostrowski with you as always. Anytime the Cubs are not playing or they've got a West Coast game like later on in the week, I'm here for you. I was just talking about the draft. We'll get to the Cubs in just a quick second, but just mentioning the draft. Don't forget about the Score's coverage all 3 days. Coming up on Thursday, we've got Hub, Dan Pompey, Patrick Manley, Greg Gabriel, all in studio. Mark Rohde live from Hallis Hall. That's going on from 6 to 10. And Julie DeCaro and Arthur Arkish from 10 p.m. until midnight. Friday, myself and Anthony Herron from 6 to 8.05. We go to the Cubs game at 8.05. Cubs and Diamondbacks. Saturday's draft coverage. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, David Haw, Hub Arkish, and Dan Pompey live from Soldier Field, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Mark Rohde over at Hallis Hall, Julian Maggie Show with Greg Gabriel in the Score Studios, 3 to 6.35. Got it? Basically, draft going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Keep it locked right here on 670 The Score. We'll have all the up-to-date coverage for you. So David Bodie comes through. He left after his game-winning hit yesterday for the birth of his child. His wife was being induced. Any word? Did anybody see any word on that? I mean, if she was being induced yesterday afternoon, baby had to be born at this point. I've not seen anything either. A few things stand out. First, we'll talk about the offense. Because I know the story's been the starting pitching, and all is right in Cubs land when the starting pitching is coming through. What do you know? They've been winning some series. Okay, great. It is great. But as far as the offense goes, it's really stood out to me. Is what they've done in the clutch. Sorry, Fangraphs, I'm going to say it. Clutch. Big situations. When they weren't coming through a year ago. There's always hit or miss with the Cubs. Double-digit runs, 2 runs. 9 runs, 3 runs. 14 runs, get shut out. That's what much of last season was, and that was the big frustration. And Theo Epstein famously said, offense is broken. But what stood out to me so far this season, and add David Bodie to the list, is last year, even when they were scoring runs, in a big spot, runner in scoring position, less than 2 outs, or with 2 outs, just getting that runner home, doing what you have to do. How many guys could you trust last year? Talked about it a lot with Barry Rosner on Hit and Run throughout the season. The trust list was Ben Zobrist, Anthony Rizzo for me. That was it. Too many strikeouts. Too many guys, home run or nothing. And we've seen the approach change. Offense was broken. I don't know how much is because of Anthony Iaposi, but I assume some of it. And even with Rizzo and Bryant struggling, we're seeing professional at-bats from multiple guys that you trust. Or guys to trust after 20 games, right? David Bodie, you trust him. You do. Not the best hitter. He's a utility guy. They believe in him. They gave him $15 million guaranteed. Spent all offseason saying how the Cubs didn't add anything. Daniel Descalso has been a nice ad. Runners in scoring position, he's hitting 500. 7 for 14. 500. Wilson Contreras, 6 for 15. He's hitting 400 with runners in scoring position. Javi Baez came through yesterday. Runners in second and third, he's a homer, 3 doubles, hitting 348. And he still has Zobrist. And Bodie had his fourth walk-off hit already. His fourth. Now, the guys you don't trust early on. We know Brian and Rizzo have their struggles, but you still believe in them most of the time, of course. Two of your best hitters. We go over the large sample size. We know what those guys can do, and hopefully they go back to their level. Schwarber and Hayward have been awful in these situations. Hayward. Even though he's showing some pop early, 3 for 16, and Schwarber just 2 for 16 with 5 strikeouts. Bryant, 3 for 16. Now, I'm not saying these guys are going to do this all season. That's impossible. You can't ask someone to hit 500 with runners in scoring position. But that's what's jumped out to me. As a team, in these positions, that was an issue a year ago. They're hitting 260, good for ninth in baseball. They're slugging 354. That's top three in baseball. And a lot of the other team-hitting stats, they're up top five, top 10 in all of the league. Now we get to the pitching. Things have settled in, and the starting pitching has been great. When Tyler Chatwood's giving you an outing, you know things are going well. Now, it doesn't mean you're changing up the rotation at all. Q and Hamels can keep giving you strong outings, and you're going to be all right. And you're not as worried about when John Lester is going to be making his return. The bullpen deserved to be ripped in the first week of the season. It was just horrendous. There was no way that was going to keep going. And it stopped. Part of the thing is, they walked into the season short an arm or two in the bullpen. But part of that was knowing that Brandon Morrow would return. It was at least a month, every report, at least a month. So you're expecting, okay, maybe early, mid-May. Now he's shut down indefinitely. 34-year-old pitcher, hasn't pitched in a game since July 15th. Had the elbow surgery in the offseason. He's been hurt throughout his entire career. That was the guy you were waiting on. Is there a risk in that? Yes. The Cubs have done that. They've committed to closers in the past for short periods of time. And then worry about next year. We'll find an older, cheap guy who has the pedigree. I expect nothing from Morrow now. Shut down indefinitely. We have no idea. But when you hear that, Mike Chen, other side of the glass, big Cubs fan. When you hear this weekend that Morrow is shut down indefinitely, when we thought we were maybe a week or two from him getting close to returning, but we weren't hearing any progress, when you hear shut down indefinitely, what do you think?
I think bad. I think that there's potential another surgery on tap for him.
Potential. We might not see him pitch
exactly
this year.
The chances that he actually gets on the mound this year are like slim to none for me right now.
Yeah, I hear you. The Cubs have 10 wins and 2 saves. It's odd, but hey, they have 6 save opportunities. So the bullpen, obviously an issue early on. And I get it. They're fickle. Very tough to project from year to year. But what is the Cubs' mindset right now? So now Morrow shut down. I'd guess at least a month. At least a couple of months. Maybe not pitch in 2019. You have to do something? You preach urgency. You walk into the season short arms. But in the back of your mind, we got Morrow. And he's going to be our closer. And while some people think, oh, you just play matchups. That's what Joe always talks about. That's why he refuses to name Pedro Strop the closer. And he'll be on with Lawrence Holmes tomorrow at noon, like he always is. we'll just play matchups. But no, no, no. Because the closer has meant something to the Cubs. Because they've always had that dude. And when they got worried about Rondon, yeah, we're going to go get our lockdown guy. And we're going to go get a ring. So what approach are the Cubs taking right now? They're not naming a closer. And now there isn't a closer on the horizon. And I know you're thinking Craig Kimbrel. If you're a Kimbrel guy, scream now. Tell me about it now. Don't tell me when the bullpen looks bad. Now, part of the reason I wasn't for Kimbrel was how long is it going to take for him to get ready? You got Morrow coming back. Maybe they'll be ready at the same time. Now Morrow's not an option. I'm not willing to give him a ton of money. And in the winter, Kimbrel was asking six for $100 million, which is insane. And Ken Rosenthal reported over the last few days, 3 years for 50 is what he's looking at. He's going to settle for 1 year. And if that's the case, you don't want him going up to Milwaukee. That's the team he's been talking to. But what's the approach? Urgency, urgency. They value a closer. They don't have a closer. They don't have one coming back. They've filled that bullpen with veteran arms that have done it in the past. Strope, even though they won't name him. Brock, early on, 10 walks and 8 innings. Cishek has 125 career saves. Kinsler's done it in the past. Montgomery can do whatever. He had another rehab outing tonight. Tennessee pitched 3 innings, 36 pitches, 20 of those are strikes. Now, typically in the bullpen, the closer is your best guy. Get you out of those spots. But it's fair to question what they're doing right now. Are they hoping that someone grabs the job? Are they going 2005 White Sox? We'll have a few guys we're going to try out, and then hopefully one of them takes it. Maybe Bobby Jenks takes the job. Is that the approach they're using? In a year of urgency, every game counts? We'll see how it works itself out. Are they staying on message here? I don't know. And they've brought up some arms that have looked pretty good. But how much are you going to trust those guys? At a period last year, Rosario looked pretty good. Then in the end, not so much. They had to move on. This Hour on the Score brought to you by Pontiac RV. Grand Rapids, Vince, you're on 670 The Score, Joe Ostrowski.
Yeah, unless I've missed something, I don't know why they haven't brought up Dakota Mekas. The guy's at a sub-2 ERA all through the minors, including AAA last year and this year. Why is that guy not up here?
That's a fair question. I actually thought he was going to be one of the names that they brought up a couple weeks ago when they brought up a couple of guys. Well, it looks like Montgomery's about to return. So you're going to end up sending a guy down.
Well, he said sub-2 ERA. This guy has struggled. Mekas has struggled this year with a 5.14 ERA through 7 innings pitched, 4 earned runs.
Okay. But, yeah, he's going back to last year when he was at double and triple A. He had a great season. But, yeah, he's had his early struggles, so that would answer your question. Yeah, wow. He's allowed runs in his last 3 outings. So until he figures that out, probably not an option for Mekas. And I know it's early to say start making moves. You don't know if you're going to be a player at the trade deadline, the one and only trade deadline, come July 31. I'm just saying, what is their plan? Because the Morrow situation changed it for me. I was not a Kimbrel guy. I am if it's for 1 year. 3 for $50, not a Kimbrel guy, especially that walk rate a year ago. And his own team said, yeah, we're good. Oh, you don't have a team? Yeah, we're good. Depends on the situation. 1 year I'm in. I'm also not going to do it solely to block the Brewers and mess up my payroll moving forward when they have to pay all of these guys, all of these young players. They have to make some tough decisions coming up over the next few years. And with the bad money that they have on their payroll, they need all the wiggle room they can get. But I'm just trying to figure out what the Cubs are doing. If you get anything from Morrow, and I'll throw C.J. Edwards in there too, if you get anything, it's like found money. And that was a guy they were probably hoping, okay, throw him in there too. Maybe he stands out from the pack. But they believe in closers as much as they believe in matchups, and you see that every day in the lineup. They believe in the closer mattering, and they don't have a guy right now. But maybe they're just going to wait. It's just odd to me that you say October is March, October is April, and then once you get to the trade deadline, the most important position is closer because teams just keep trading for reliever after reliever. So if you want to check in on that, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Also, coming up next, let's do this. We'll continue the Cubs conversation, but it looks like sports betting is super close to coming to the Midwest, and I'm not talking about Illinois. And I don't like what I've been reading about the approach Illinois is taking. I'm Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
If you like what you're hearing, check out Joe's Gambling and Sports Information Show, Early Odds, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. right here on The Score. You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch your Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round of the Calder Cup playoffs. For up-to-date playoff information or tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Thanks for hanging out, talking some Cubs. Texters checking in on the closer situation. It's a situation now. I know they're winning, so there isn't mass panic. Winning series, people not worried too much about it. It's time to worry to me. Because there's no end in sight for the closer problem. Now Morrow out indefinitely. Now it's not 1 month. Now add on months. May, June. That's what it sounds to me. At best. Texter from the 301. Edwards and Happ. Maybe with a little cash for a solid closer. Guys. Look. When you want to improve your team, please stop taking the garbage that you don't want, throwing it in one garbage can, and saying, please, give me $1 million. Stop doing that. Why would they take... Do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? Happ couldn't stop striking out all of last year. Couldn't make the major league roster on a 500 team to start the season, and Edwards didn't know how to throw off a mound. Just throwing an illegal pitch. Please take the two of these. Please take these guys. Give us a solid closer. Come on. You can come up with something better. That's why we don't like to take trade calls. Bringing you behind the scenes a little bit, because that's what people end up doing. Well, we don't want this. We don't want that. How about you take it and give us something really nice to lock up some games, because we don't have a guy to do that. Even though that's the most valuable commodity in baseball around July 31. Do that for us. Stop. Stop. But yeah, this is something to keep your eye on. Because you have the peaks and valleys of a baseball season with a bullpen. And this is a bullpen trending in the bottom half of the league. I know, we can look at stats if you want after 20 games, but they won't look great because that first week was so awful, even though they have improved. If the Morrow news came out after blowing a few games in a row, there would be a little bit on the panic meter. But that was the whole thing. No on Kimbrel because you've got Morrow coming back. It's okay. You don't name a closer because you've got Morrow coming back. Well, we can patchwork this thing for a month, maybe a month and a half, because Stroop, Montgomery, Brock, Cishek, Kinsler, they've done it at times. Use some matchups, Joe, and we'll be okay. You can't do this for an entire season. And as far as I'm concerned, after the news with Morrow and his injury history, expecting nothing. That's why I think we should be talking about this, even though you have to give credit for what the bullpen's done over the last few weeks. And, of course, the rotation has just been completely lights out. But this is a problem. You had issues before. And guess what? It's a baseball season. You're going to get more injuries. It's not problem solved when Montgomery returns. He helps you a ton. If you need a spot start here or there, all sorts of roles, a ground ball pitcher coming out of the pen. Yeah, Joe's going to lean on him like he always does. Hopefully he's 100% healthy. But this is still a problem. They felt they had enough to get through. But that was for a month, month and a half, not for an entire season. So when are they going to get aggressive and do something else? Seems like they're going to have to. You don't see trades in April. So hopefully they can get by for a while, figure out what this team is. All right, we're a contender. Because now teams can just ask for whatever they want. I mean, that's part of the problem. Oh, a couple of texts brought up Baez last year. Of course, I should have included him. I was thinking earlier on in the season, just quality at-bats. Of course, Baez. Baez is number one on the list. Mullie and Hall Show were talking about that this morning, about the most clutch players on the team. And yeah, Baez. He's their best player. So Baez is definitely up there. Another texter. Closers are like a finely tuned car. They work really well, except when they lose some of the tune, which is almost always. And it's really, really difficult to determine the problem. You know, plugs, coil packs, superchargers, blowers, combinations of lots of things. It is. I always go back to what Theo said, and Theo isn't right all the time, but I think he is most of the time. He's going straight to the Hall of Fame. That's the toughest thing to project going into a season. But they knew that they walked into the year short there. They did. So we'll see if these guys can get it done, but now the situation has changed. Like I said, I have not been a Kimbrel guy. Situation has changed now. Now, if you want to make a move, even though we rarely see it, I get it. Because you had a hole or two, now you've got another one in that pen. And if they truly don't want to give away any games, they're going to have to do something. And it might be trying different guys coming out of the minor leagues. We'll see. The Joe O Show with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, there's been some sports betting news involving the Midwest over the last couple of days. Actually, you can go back to last week, too. First, I'm going to start outside of Illinois. So, Iowa passed a sports betting bill last week, and then it was going to the House, and reportedly, it has cleared the House today. Representative Bobby Kaufman and Senator Roby Smith talked about it. I think that was on the Legal Sports Report. It's interesting, the operator fees that they've settled on compared to the state of Illinois in Iowa. Now, of course, Illinois is going to be much more. We all understand that. Pritzker mentioned $20 million a license. Iowa? $45,000. $45,000 a license. Illinois is looking for $20 million. So, it looks like the governor will have 3 days to sign the bill. Governor Kim Reynolds. We'll see if she signs it. Indiana. All of a sudden. You know, deals get done in the very last minute. They're at their last minute. There's a lot of disagreement on the mobile betting apps, which I don't understand why these states are doing it. They're having the same argument in New York. Don't get it. 80% of bets in New Jersey are on the mobile apps. We do everything on our phones. If you're trying to make money for your state, why are you saying no mobile betting, only in casinos? That's where states like Mississippi have run into trouble. Wait, where's the revenue? Where's the revenue we were expecting? Well, I have to go to the casino to bet. I have to sit there all day if I want to keep betting. So I guess they made a provision in their sports gambling bill, and it sounds like they're getting close. Iowa and Indiana. I did not like what I read in the Tribune. It came out, I believe it was late on Friday or over the weekend, about the state of Illinois. And if you listen to my early odds show on Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., we've been trying to keep you up to speed on this. So the Cubs, White Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks are all in. All in on sports betting. Of course, before New Jersey, nobody would talk about it. Oh, no, we're not gambling. They would get involved with DFS companies, daily fantasy sport companies. Oh, it's not gambling. It's not gambling at all, even though we all knew it was gambling. So now they're all in. Not the Bears. The Bears are not saying anything. The NFL doesn't have to. They're just following the NFL's lead. So the Bears are not getting involved. I don't know what Illinois is going to try to pass when we get to the end of May. That's the end of the session. But everything I'm hearing sounds like they want to cut a deal with the leagues. I am not in favor of that. I want a sports betting bill passed in Illinois. Of course I do. But I don't understand why Illinois needs to be the first state to cut a deal with the leagues. Now, according to what was written in the Tribune, professional leagues would get 25 cents of every $100 bet. That does not sound like a lot, but let me tell you, it adds up. And there's a reason those leagues want 25 cents of every $100 bet. The highlight there, every $100 bet, not every $100 won by the house, every $100 wagered. So the sports book can lose a bet, and the leagues are still getting their cut. Every $100 bet. There isn't one state. Now, eight states have legalized sports betting. There isn't one state have cut the leagues in. Illinois would be the first. And the part that really bothers me, well, there's a few things. Now, first off, it isn't needed. If you haven't noticed, Nevada has a professional sports team in the Golden Knights. They're playing in the playoffs right now. They're still not doing it. An NFL team is coming to Nevada. They're not going to do it. Why is this necessary for Illinois? What is the league providing? Some would argue, well, what would you be betting on if you didn't have these sports? So? Those sports are going to continue whether people bet on them or not. And so what we hear from the leagues is, well, we're giving you access to our special data. What data? I have AP box scores on my phone and so do you. What special data do you have? Don't let the leagues fool you. Now, they were suing New Jersey for years and years, and now they've got their hand out because they see the money rolling in, and they see where this is going. And in a year or two, half the country is going to have legalized sports betting, so they want their cut. That's all it is. They're suing for years, and now they want their cut. The special data. What data? What they're going to say is prop bets. And the example that was used in the Tribune article was Anthony Rizzo's next at bat, if it's a strikeout. Okay. We're not the smartest group of people here, but let's go around the room. Myself, Herb Lawrence, Mike Chen on the other side of the glass. Hey, Herb, if you make a wager that Anthony Rizzo will strike out in his next at bat, would you be able to determine that, whether that was a win or a loss for you, by watching the television?
Yes.
It wouldn't be hard, right? Mike Chen, same? I mean, yeah. We could figure that out. We don't need the special league data.
Not that difficult.
Okay. Just trying to figure out what this is. By the way, that example that was provided, please tell me if you're betting on that. How many people have made that bet, strikeout in the next at bat? Now, I know many people believe that live sports betting, I mean, in-game sports betting, is the next wave, the next big thing. But the majority of bets are made before the game. And sure, there's been an uptick in live wagering, but it's about the game. It isn't about a specific at-bat. It's about, okay, the run total is this now. The point total is this in an NFL or NBA game. You're going over or under. Well, the Bears are losing. Now they're the underdog. Okay, I'll take the Bears. It's about the line moving during the games. It's not about what's going to happen in an at-bat. It's not about whether or not Zach LaVine's going to make the second of his two free throws. And if those bets are available, they are for very low limits. And I don't need the league's special data to tell me whether it was a win or a loss. I have two eyeballs, and everything is tracked. I can look in the box score, and that's how everything is determined for the wins and losses. So I don't need the league's special data. But I will say this. If that's the route they go, I'd rather have a sports betting bill passed in the state of Illinois than not. If Springfield decides, we have to have this. But I don't understand why it's necessary. I don't understand why Illinois needs to have the leagues involved. Guess what? Some of you are betting on sports games right now without the leagues being involved. I'm betting on them. Why are they needed? Why? Doesn't make any sense to me. There is no special gambling data that the league provides. They just want their cut. That's all it is. Doesn't make sense. If you want to join in, 312-644-6767. If you're looking forward to Thursday's draft, Russ Landy, the GM of Junior Scouting, will be joining me at 9 o'clock. The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
If you like what you're hearing, check out Joe's Gambling and Sports Information Show, Early Odds, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. right here on The Score. Joe O, nights 6 to 10.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, Russ Landy will join me to talk some draft. He's got a brand new draft guide. You'll want to check that out. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Back to the sports betting conversation a little bit before we move on to the NFL draft. 815 Texer, they think it's like trading in season mode of a sports video game. That's part of the problem with the important people having these conversations. A lot of them have never bet on sports, and they don't know how to do it. They don't even know what people are betting. And then they just let the sports leagues like, oh yeah, well, you need our data to make sure everything's on the up and up. Go to the Google machine, people. Look up how some scandals have been busted. You know who busted them? The bookmakers out in Las Vegas. The Arizona State basketball team was cheating, was taking money. Jimmy Vaccaro out there. Yes, Sonny Vaccaro's brother. He busted those guys. The books started calling around and figuring out realizing the same guys were going around town, hitting up different casinos at every number available. They're the watchdog. And now the leagues are going to act like they're going to be the watchdog? So what are you saying? That you didn't care about integrity in the past? See, because that's what I keep hearing when I hear integrity fee. Leagues want their cut. They're going to watch things. It's like, well, so what are you saying about what's been going on for the last 100 years? That you didn't really care? There wasn't any integrity? Unless I'm missing it, I don't know people that are betting at-bat to at-bat, betting on a strikeout. And I know that it's the next wave. It'll be more things available. You can bet on homers and doubles. But it is so hard as it is. You have to be so quick. The books, getting stuff posted, making sure that you're betting in that small window when there is not action going on the field. That's why there are a lot of websites. They only post stuff during commercial timeouts for the NBA. Same thing for college basketball. At those 4-minute TV commercials. So when the leagues are using that as an example, that isn't reality. That's not going on. Now, maybe I'm missing the underground world of betting at-bat to at-bat. You're betting on the game, not the result of the at-bats. I hope Illinois does not cave. But in the end, I do want a sports betting bill here. I just don't see the need. And then to allow them to get a cut of every single bet wagered, and not just the losing bets for the house or the winning bets for the house. I mean, it's crazy. 312-644-6767. Michael on the north side. You're on the score with Joe Ostrowski. Hey, Michael.
Yeah. Joe, I wanted to tell you there was something maybe you were too young to realize. In the 80s, they were trying to figure out how they were beating Las Vegas on Detroit Piston games for about a year until Vegas finally figured out that the timekeeper was either adding 2 or 3 minutes or shaving 2 or 3 minutes to the games. And I don't think the NBA was in a big hurry to find out how they were doing it, but Las Vegas figured it out.
Exactly, and they've done it so many other times. Thank you, Michael. Because it's in their best interest to make sure everything is on the up and up. Why would the books want to get screwed one way or the other? This is their business. They're in this to make money. They want to win. They don't want people coming in making six-figure bets and losing. So you don't need the NBA special data. I hope the state does not get fooled on this one, because it's not needed.
Seems like Illinois is Illinoising this thing up.
I'm going to give them till the end of May. Every time I tweet about it, Herb, I get a string of tweets about it's Illinois politics, so don't expect anything. And I'm hopeful that something does happen. I know Michael Zalewski knows what he's doing. I'm holding out hope, and you know, when Governor Pritzker's put it in the budget for the upcoming fiscal year, it's like he wants it. Just get a bill on his desk that's passable, and he's going to sign off on it. He made that message loud and clear because he wants the $200 million that he's seeking. But I just don't see why you have to cut the leagues in. You'd be the first state to do so.
I mean, we'll all go to Indiana easily, quickly.
Well, I mean, we're talking sports here, and I try to keep it there. All of us know people that are leaving this state. They're moving out of this state because it's cheaper, because of some of the different taxes, or just moving out of the city, period. Maybe they are staying in the state. But I go to a restaurant by my house. People are hitting up the slot machines. Like, why are the rules so different? It's so hard to get sports betting passed. And that is a concern that I have had, Herb, that gambling is always tough in this state. The horse racing community is going to want their cut, and they're going to want to make sure that it's set up so they can have sports betting, and that one of the amendments on the table is not to have it at horse racing. just have it a lottery system, like you walk into 7-Eleven tomorrow and you can bet on the Bears that way, bet on whatever game. And I think it would also, I believe it will also have mobile betting then too. But yeah, I hope we're not saying that in a little over a month that Illinois screwed up, because it's a gold rush right now for the Midwest. We see that. And this is the time to strike. And they had their differences, but Iowa and Indiana, it looks like they're coming through at the final hour. I hope Illinois does. Live up until the end of May. There'll be a lot of upset people if that does not happen, including the brand new governor. 312-644-6767. Is there a specific player in the draft that you want to hear us talk about? I'm going to bring in Russ Landy, former NFL scout. He's the GM of Junior Scouting. And we're going to go in depth on the draft. I know Who's Your Guy started earlier today on The Score, but if there are any players that you really want to hear about, you can tweet me at Joe0670, text me 67011, and we're going to start the conversation with running back, because all signs point to the Bears drafting a running back, whether it's third, fourth, or fifth round. So we're going to go in deep on the draft. Coming up next, you've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
If you like what you're hearing, check out Joe's Gambling and Sports Information Show, Early Odds, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. right here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.